In all the hustle and bustle of Christmas, I'm often reminded of Charlie Brown and Linus, where Charlie is all frustrated about what's going on, all the commercialism and everything else, and the search for the perfect tree and the search for the perfect gift, and Lucy wanting to be the Christmas queen, and all the things that go on. And Charlie asked Linus, "What's Christmas all about?" And Linus walks onto the stage and takes the blanket that he always has with him and flicks it and wraps it around his head like a shepherd. And then he recites the words that Jim just read about the angels appearing unto the shepherds, giving you good news of great joy. And he says, "Charlie, that's what Christmas is all about." And I'm going to take just a couple minutes and look at those same verses and how they can apply to us in a way. Verse 10 says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There is joy in serenity." These shepherds were out, actually it was probably springtime, more than likely April, that they were out in the field, because it was lambing season, and they would be out with their flocks. They were outdoorsmen, they were sort of nobodies. The least person in the world that you would expect God to speak to. They would spend hour upon hour in sheer boredom, just watching the sheep graze, hoping that nothing bad would happen, and then there might be a few minutes of sheer terror where an animal would come upon them. And they'd fight it off to look out for the flock. They'd look out for any birthing problems that there might be. And suddenly, and you would think that these guys are sort of afraid of nothing. They're being out there. Except an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and he said, "Don't be afraid. Fear not." Are we ever afraid of things? Are we ever afraid of the fear of the unknown? How many of us know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? Sometimes it's good we don't. It might scare us knowing what time we have. Do we ever have fear of things we don't understand? How many of you completely understand the IRS tax code? Of course not. Even if you were a CPA, you wouldn't be able to raise your hand saying, "I understand it completely." There's so many ins and outs of things we do not understand. And sometimes that makes us fearful, not understanding. Do we sometimes have a fear of dying? Or maybe more frequently, do we sometimes have a fear of living? We're concerned about what's going to happen. We're concerned about our bills tomorrow. We're concerned, hey, am I going to get sick? Or is God going to ask me to do something strange? Like these folks we just saw in the video, being in a war-torn area. You know, it's not always easy doing what God wants us to do. But the angel told the shepherds, "Don't be afraid, because I've got good tidings of sort of joy." That's not what he said. He said, "Great joy." Can you imagine the life that they were living, bound by all the rules and regulations of the Jewish law? over 475 things that they should do or could not do, even as far as how far they would walk and what they would wear. It boggles my mind trying to keep up with it all. And in fact, they were in a position frequently of being unclean and not even able to go into the temple to worship unless they had done some things properly. But great joy, because suddenly there's the possibility there's of having life beyond what the law says. Life living by God's grace, not by all the demands. So no fear, great joy. And who was it for? Just a small, select subject of people? Was it just for the shepherds? No. The angel said, this is what? This is good news. This is great news for all people. That includes us. We're all people. That God's love goes beyond just a select group of people. It goes beyond Israel. It goes to us as well. That's the most fantastic news of Christmas, is that we can experience God's love. We're not the outsiders anymore, because we have been invited in. And that gives us joy and serenity. We can be comfortable. Does it make us, do we have places that we go that are comfortable, that we enjoy? Do we have people that we like to be with that give us comfort? Do we have food that we like, that we call comfort food, whether or not the diet says it's a nice thing? Sure we do. Well, instead of being comfortable just with people or places or food, we have comfort in God's love. That comfort gives us serenity. So we can have joy in serenity. But continuing on, in the next verse, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What does a Savior do? A Savior does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You know, frequently we figure that we want to go ahead and be like a three-year-old and say, Mommy, I can do it myself. Now, if they only would do that when they're teenagers, right? But as a three-year-old, they want to help when they can. Well, that's the way we are. But then we end up, you know, it's been said that grandchildren are God's reward for you not killing your kids. Because the grandparent gets to go ahead and love on the child and do all these wonderful things, spoil them, and then send them back. Isn't that what we do? Sure it is. But a Savior loves on us, but still keeps us. Doesn't send us away. But that Savior is a Savior dependent on us? Not at all. It's all dependent on God. When we depend on us, we find out just how poorly we do. We try to do it all ourselves, and it doesn't work well. Do we ask that three-year-old to wash our fine china? No. That's what they make melamine for, right? For the three-year-old to be able to wash and drop, and it's okay. And you go back and you wash it again because you would like to get the food off of it. But what is our responsibility as far as a Savior is concerned? Our only responsibility is to acknowledge that we need a Savior and accept what God has offered. Now, I could go ahead and take a dollar bill out of my wallet and offer it to Doug and say, all you got to do is come and get it. As long as he sits there and doesn't come and get it, it doesn't do him any good. But if he gets up and takes what is offered, then it becomes his. That's the way the Savior works with us. God offers us his love, and therefore we have joy in a Savior to do what we cannot do on ourselves. But also we've got joy in singing. How many of you all enjoy singing? Everybody ought to raise their hand, really. I mean, we're told we're going to be part of a heavenly choir one day. Shouldn't we be practicing? Somebody says, oh, nobody wants to hear my singing. It's okay. Because if we're singing, if it's coming from the heart, if we're praising God, that's what counts. You know, sometimes we've got the idea that the only reason we should sing is if it's melodious and sounds good. The only reason really we should sing is because we've got joy in our heart. The melody, God will fix it. God knows what's going on that way. Sometimes we make fun of musicals. You know, they're going ahead and talking, and all of a sudden they break out into song. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. And you say, people don't live like that. Well, why not? Why not enjoy what God has given us and thank him in song? Think about what God has done. And you may want to say, I'll think about it when I'm in the shower and sing that. And that's fine. You may be doing another, you may be driving down the road where nobody else could hear. You know, I hear people say, yes, I'll sing a solo. Solo that nobody else can hear me. But if you're doing it for God, that's what counts. The angels sang because they had good news. They had God's love. We can have joy in singing as well. I wish I could sing wonderfully. That wasn't the gift that God gave me. And there are others that could say the same thing. But we continue. The next, in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What kind of clue did they have? They knew that there was a newborn that was laying in a stable somewhere. So let's start checking out stables. Now, the easy thing to do would be to say, you know, I've got a job up here on the mountaintop. I've got sheep to look after. And I don't have a GPS to find this place. This is going to be a real pain for me to find. So I'm just not going to do it. They said, nope. I don't need a GPS. All I need is God telling me, I'll go there. I will seek, I will check out every stable I can find until I find the right one. There couldn't be that many. I mean, there couldn't be more than 50 or 100 of them. That's fine, but it's worthwhile for me to check out. I'm going to go. But did God have to tell him, hey, you need to go ahead and leave what you're doing and go check this out? Of their own response, is that God has spoken to us. He's given me good news. I've got to go check it out. I've got to see for myself what God has done. I've got to give God the glory for what he has done. And in fact, it says that they hurried. They were anxious to get a move on. Now, sometimes we have a tendency to move very rapidly and go nowhere because we're not going where God told us to go. And other times when God specifically says, this is what I want you to do, our shoes are glued to the floor. There is something in between where when God tells us, this is what I'm doing, this is where I'm active, this is where I'm working, go check it out. See for yourself. Become involved in what God is doing. They hurried. There was joy in seeking. And then finally, when there's joy in sharing. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. They spread the word. You notice it didn't say they went to the seminary, they went to go study in a Bible college for a couple of years, they sat in classes for a while. They said, nope. We know what we have seen, what we have heard, and we're going to share it. Sometimes we get the idea that we have to really be good at something in order to do it. When was the last time you picked up a coloring book? You say, oh, wait a minute. But you see kids with coloring books all the time. And you notice with the kids, they don't mind having green camels and purple people or whatever. And sometimes they even stay within the lines. But we sometimes as adults are so worried about staying within the lines and coloring that we say, I can't be perfect in doing it, so I'm not going to do it at all. What's wrong with that? Just like singing, if you can't, who cares if you're off key? You're singing to your own music. That's okay. Who cares if you're coloring outside the lines? That's okay if you enjoy doing it. Who cares if you start to, if you can't do something well? If you enjoy doing it, go ahead and do it. It's okay. Enjoy the gifts that God has given you to do that. Sometimes, you know, it's okay to be a kid and color again. Nothing wrong with that. Whatever. I am currently studying Morse code. And right now it is Morse code 1, Jim 0, seems to be the way it feels like at times. Because I get frustrated because I cannot instantly recall the letters. And you want to be able to do that. Now, how do you fix that? First thing you practice. It said that for somebody to become as proficient, for instance, as Daphne and playing the piano, it takes 10,000 hours of practice to do it. And I'm sure in that 10,000 hours there's a few wrong notes. But you kept right on doing it. That's the same thing as far as with me working on Morse code is to practice. But you know the second thing all the experts tell you to do is to get on the air and do it. You make some mistakes, so what? You're not trying to save the world. You're just enjoying what you're doing. Same thing as far as sharing the good news that the shepherds were doing. I'm sure they got things a little goofy one way or another, but they told what they knew, and we should do the same thing. Tell what God has done for us. Nobody has a story exactly like we do. Our story is unique. But we could tell it. You don't have to go into long theological things. Just say, hey, this is what my life was like before I knew Jesus Christ. This is the difference he has made. I can't explain everything, but you know something? God did it, and that's all it takes to do that. You don't have to be perfect at it. You don't even have to always stay within the lines. Although I have been tempted a time or two, I've got a cartoon that somebody had made of a turtle that they have put before on somebody's windshield and says, you have trouble staying in the lines, here's something you can practice with when they have trouble parking, where they take up a space and a half. But that's just being sarcastic in there. But But unfortunately, most of the time, and here we've got these five joys of Christmas, most of the time, we confine these five joys to just a few weeks or maybe even a few days. Well, we're willing to say Merry Christmas and God loves you and thank you for what you've done for me, when actually we should do it year-round. Every day is Christmas. Every day we've got the Savior within us. Not just for a day or not a season. But what happens if you don't have those joys? It may be because you don't have the Savior within you. That you've never said, Lord, I've tried to do it all myself, and I've done like that three-year-old and busted the china. I'm just going to let you take care of it. Come into my life. I'm sorry for what I've done. I want you to forgive me, and he will. I want you to forgive me and make me new. And that's all that God asks us to do, is just to let us come in, let him change us as we grow in his likeness. We're thankful that Jesus Christ did not stay as a baby, that Jesus grew and walked and taught and bled and died and rose again, that we may have life everlasting through belief in him. The five joys of Christmas, we've got, but the ultimate joy is knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you haven't, this is an opportunity to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for what you've given us, the gift of life through Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the joys that you've given us. But most of all, we're thankful for your love. Touch any heart that needs to be touched, that you may be glorified by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.